Tonight, I'd like to call you back over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7.
1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7 reads this way. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before your throne tonight, asking for your blessing on your word, Lord, on our hearts and minds, that you might open them, that we might receive the truths that you have for us, that we might understand it, Lord, as you see it from your understanding, that we would not just hear it with our ears, but, Lord, that we would hear it with our hearts and with our minds and with our souls, and, Lord, that we might give ourselves completely over to you in the guidance and instructions that you have for us tonight, that we might trust you, Lord, and prove you, and receive the blessings that you have for each and every one of us. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message is To Be Found in Honor at the Appearing of Christ. So this is part two of the message that we heard this morning. Didn't have the opportunity to finish. But just so that we can understand here, the Lord is wanting to instruct his believers on how to walk on this side of eternity before we get to heaven. He's wanting us to have victory. He wants us to enjoy. And I want you to understand from a biblical perspective, God wants us to stand our ground. He doesn't want us to get pushed backward because we start from victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We start from the glory of the Lord. And God is not wanting us to invade, really, but he is wanting us to hold our ground, stand fast. You hear very often, and he wants us to not be pushed back by the devil, not to be led away by the devil or tempted by him, that we might fall, but that we also might be the light and the salt that God has called into the world. May God do a work even in the day and age. May we all pray for God to do a work in the day and age in which we live, that we might see his hand mightily at work, because we have faith in him and not in ourselves or in what we think. We need to be careful that we don't draw conclusions in our minds that are not in the scriptures, maybe well-intended. But listen, God, the Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only ones that change are the people of God. Sometimes they have faith and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're receptive to the blessings of God and sometimes they need the chastening of God. So it's all dependent upon where we want to be and what we want to believe according to the Word of God or our thinking. And so that will get us in trouble. Listen, I am convinced that God is wanting to save souls. All right, let me try that again. I am convinced that God is wanting to save souls. Amen. You believe that? I am convinced God's not finished. Right. If he was finished, we'd all be gone. Amen? So he uses us. He glorifies himself through us. Boy, what a blessing today for first-time visitors. And I don't know if you know, but the fellow came here when he was a little fella. And for whatever reason, God has brought him back into our lives. He brought a girlfriend with him. We had many returning visitors that came, and we thank the Lord for that. So God's not done, amen? And may God's people be on fire for the things of God. And what does that mean? That means that we are committed. We want to see God working, not in the lives of other people, but in our lives, right? That's the way the Lord works. By the Lord working in our lives will spill out into the lives of others and bless them for the glory of God as well. So here were the three thoughts. We're not going to go over them. We're going to really primarily finish on the last thought. But the first one was the engagement of the elect. Now, we can look at that as a marital engagement. We can also look at that as an engagement, an involvement, right? When we engage something, we involve ourselves. So the engagement of the elect, really, for the Lord, when he engages us, the very first thing he does is brings us to salvation. Amen? The very first thing that anybody must have in the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a belief in God, but being born again, a salvation experience, a personal salvation experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we have the inheritance for the engaged in salvation. So that means that this person's saved. God has given them an inheritance. And in this particular place, by faith, we pursue those things that God has promised us and given to us to enjoy on this side of eternity, but also in the life to come as well. And that involves the work of sanctification. So the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has the opportunity to hear the Word of God and then using faith to believe the Word of God and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do that, God brings blessings because of our faithfulness. What's our faithfulness? Trusting God's great faithfulness. See, we're not looking to ourselves. We're not doing so. Lord, we believe you. We trust you. You know, God told Abraham and Sarah, who were up in years, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. They knew they didn't have it within themselves, but they trusted in who? In the Lord, right? In God. They didn't trust in themselves, and so they went, didn't they? Now, did they struggle with their faith? Absolutely. Everybody struggles with their faith. But the thing is to do is to say, you know what, Lord? I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, but I'm going to trust you who created everything and who can do anything and everything that he says he will do. Isn't that great? So that's the God that we serve. And by the way, I want to remind you, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? People have faith in many different things. Some people put their faith in material things and things that are passing away. That's a poor investment. Listen, nothing wrong in being involved in those things. But if that's what my life is all about, spiritually speaking, we're not going to have a whole lot. So it's important for us to invest in the things that are eternal because they're forever, aren't they? As we invest in what God has called us to do, we begin to enjoy our relationship with him and the blessings that we have here on this side of eternity. But we see, as God sees, that the greatest possession, the greatest pursuit is to reach out and to touch others for the Lord Jesus Christ and pointing them towards salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the faith that you and I have is the best one. It's the only one where God says, I have completed the work. I have done everything that you need to have eternal life and to have the blessings of God and the power of God on this side of eternity and in the life to come. Isn't that wonderful? Every other religion, man-made, every other religion is man-made. And again, I'm not trying to lamb blast other religions, but every other religion says this is what you have to do to earn eternal life. That is not in the Word of God. And so we fortunately, our eyes have been opened to the truth, and may we take hold of it and walk in it and grow in it to the glory of God for our blessing and for those that we come in contact with. So, again, the inheritance for the engaged in salvation is the work of sanctification. And the last thought here is the inquiry for the engaged. God wants us to inquire about the things that he has given to us and has for us. Because if we don't inquire about those things, will we ever know about them? So, God says, if you seek me, you'll find me. But if you never seek me, what are you going to find? You're not going to find the Lord. Amen? Because why does God say that? Because it requires faith. Lord, I believe in your word. I don't believe in what I see and necessarily over what you've spoken in your word. So listen, the devil has things out there to distract us, but God says, I have things that are unmovable, that will never change, and that will be there forever. Amen? Not just in this life, but in the world to come as well. His word will be there forever, and we can count on that. All right, so in that inquiry for the engaged, those who are engaging the Lord, this is the work of submission. This is the work of saying, I'm not leaning to my own understanding, but I'm going to trust you. So we have the work of salvation, we have the work of sanctification, and then we have the work of submission. And I want you to know something. It is work because it requires going through some hard experiences, but still trusting the Lord. Listen, faith is the same for everybody, as it was for Peter, as it was for the Apostle Paul, as it was for James, as it was for John, so it will be for you and I. God is going to bring us to places and say, okay, how much do you really trust me? It's easy to trust the Lord when the sun is shining, but when the storms arise, right? Where are we then? Are we still going to trust the Lord and as Peter did, step out on the water and do things that you and I can't do, but that God has called us to do? Listen, you and I do not have the ability to live a holy life. You and I do not have the power to live a holy life. You might think so, but I promise you, that which is of the flesh is what? Of the flesh. And that which is of the spirit is of the spirit. So God, does God want us in the flesh or in the spirit? Does God want us leaning to our understanding or his? Absolutely. And that's where God gives us the victory. Let me say that again. That is where God gives us the victory. Listen, we can't pull ourselves up, spiritually speaking, by our own bootstraps. God's got to lift us up. Amen? All right. So go with me, if you will, over to verse 10. And we're going to look at the last thought here. And this is the inquiry for the engaged, the work of sanctification. And notice again here in verse 10 of which salvation, this is the salvation that God has given to us, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched how? That's important. There was a diligent search made by the prophets, have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, to the New Testament, to the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given to us a more complete salvation. It was a progression. It was a process until the Lord would come and completely fulfill everything that you and I would ever need as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And again, remember, Peter is speaking to Jewish believers, and they would understand the teaching of the prophets, and so the light bulbs were going off, and they were saying, okay, now we see, we understand what they were talking about now. When we put it together, we see the congruency of the work of God and how he brings everything together, and it all meshes, it all intertwines, and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ through a holy and righteous people that God has prepared for his name and glory, for himself. Amen? So, notice this. He says that we should follow, in fact, it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, these prophets, that not only unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So these are important things. The angels are interested in these things. And by the way, the angels also enjoy and are blessed and rejoice, not only when people get saved, but also when they see them, when they see the glory of God taking place, when they see the grace of God inside the life of believers. So when Paul was challenged, when he was beaten, when he was left for dead, when he was shipwrecked, when he was imprisoned, and he still had the joy of the Lord. Now, do you think Paul may have felt uncomfortable at times? Absolutely. You think maybe he was hungry at times? Do you think sometimes he went without? Yes, he did. But he was assured that God, that he was in the hands of God, and that God would honor. And by the way, he was able to write prison epistles to encourage his people when he was in a difficult place. And that's because he had his eyes on the Lord, and he wasn't singing, woe is me. Amen? Because he knew that, listen, he was running a race for not his glory, but for God's glory. Not for his comfort, but for the consolation that God has given to him in salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting that God held him in his hands and that he would be a testimony for the glory of the Lord. By the way, God wants you and I to be a testimony for his glory, that he would never leave us nor forsake us, and yet we are going to experience trials and tribulation, and it's not that we pray for those things. In fact, we ask the Lord to deliver us from those things, but when we're in those things, know that God has allowed that into our lives, that we would trust him through those things. Now, that's easy to say, but it requires trusting in the Lord to keep our chin up, even though we experience hardships and trials and difficulties, knowing that we're in whose hands? We're in the Lord's. We're in God's hands. So, as we consider this, this is what the prophets were inquiring. This is what they wanted the people to know, not only in their day and age, but really they were ministering to us in the New Testament time. So, the angels wanted to look into it. But now, look, as we consider verse 13 now, we find here the important inquiry of obedient children. This means absolutely nothing if we have no interest in trusting the Lord for our lives. See, we either believe that God is the supreme authority or it doesn't apply to me. So that's how it is. So if God says something, do we want to do it? If God says, listen, if God says, here's the way I want you to live, here's the way I want you to walk, if we don't receive those instructions, if we say, well, I know what you're saying, God, but what does that do? What does that do? God says, okay, then you're a disobedient child. I love you. You have a home in heaven, but you're not going to be opened up to these blessings and these experiences that will build your faith, because it requires faith in the first place to trust me that I will carry you through and bless you as you follow me in this path. Not as you follow your heart, not as I follow my heart, but as I follow the Word of God. And and it's not a difficult battle. We just have to realize that when God says something, He is the authority in our lives, right? He is the authority, and His Word is the guide, and it's not good for us to try to schmooze over, however you want to look at it, and just sweep under the rug the direction and the will and the Word that God has given to us to follow. So when we come to a place where we're having a difficulty in following the Lord, then we need to talk to the Lord and say, God, I need your help in this. Lord, I don't want to fail you in this. But if we sweep it under the rug, are we going to be any better for it? Absolutely not. So we have to come to the Lord and we have to say, Lord, it's a personal pursuit. The mistake is doing this. Ready? Well, I don't see anybody else doing it. Oh, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know who's doing it and who's not doing it. You remember the prophet that says, Elijah, I'm the only one, Lord. I'm the only one. I'm nobody else. It's just me. And what did the Lord say? I have 7,000 souls that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And so if we're not careful, we begin to look at what everybody else is doing. Is that what God wants us to do? No. You remember what Peter said? Well, what about this disciple? Speaking of John, what did the Lord tell him? What is that to you? Follow thou me. Isn't that what the Lord said? He said, follow me. And so listen, that is a distraction because of our wicked heart. That is a distraction, if we're not careful, that will keep us. And by the way, Lord, help me not to look to anybody else but you and me. Help me to tend to my relationship with you and to be faithful to you, whether nobody follows you. Lord, may I follow you. So watch this here as we consider this. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your what? Of your mind. Listen, your mind must be submissive to the Word of God. Be careful, because your mind can say, well, nobody else is doing it. Nobody else is faithful. I mean, after all, everybody else is doing this. Everybody else is doing that. Is everybody else really doing it? Do you know everybody? No, we don't know everybody. Does God have faithful people? Has a faithful remnant, doesn't he? Bible says always, he always has a faithful remnant that do not bow to this world. All right. So let's be among the faithful. Amen. Let's gird up the loins of our mind. And notice what he says here. Be what?
Be sober.
Now he doesn't think that you and I are getting drunk. But he says, don't be intoxicated with the philosophy and the wisdom of this world. There is a wisdom of the world, and then there's a wisdom of God, right? So he says, be sober, and notice, and hope to when? Hope to the end. Hope to the end in who? In the Lord, right? In God. Hope to the end. Why? For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are going to serve the Lord faithfully until we see the Lord face to face. That way we will hear, guess what? Well done. Amen. Thou good and faithful servant. And that's what the Lord wants us to hear. And I pray that's what you and I want to hear. So we have here, as we consider this here, we have in verse 13, very quickly, I want to show you something. We have an argument because of what we've been given. We have an exhortation and we have an expectation. Let me just show you something here in verse 13. The argument is wherefore. That's the argument. Wherefore? Because of what God had given the prophets for us. because of the blessings that God has promised and given to you and I in the New Testament. That's the argument. You and I have no excuse not that we have seen through the Word of God the fulfillment, the promise of the Messiah to the whole world, and you and I fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the argument is you and I have been given everything that is needed for a spectacular, wonderful faith to the glory of the Lord. But the exhortation is this: gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. That's what he's exhorting us to. He's saying, listen, the argument is because what we've been given. The exhortation is to be sober and have our minds girded, amen? That we would not be fooled. Then the expectation and hope to the end. If you do these things, you'll be fruitful, amen? You won't have a barren life. Now, back down with me here. And notice again here, verse 14. As obedient children, right? As obedient children. That's how he wants us to walk. Notice, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, plural, in your ignorance. Before you knew the Lord. Before you understood the grace of God. Before you understood the redeeming power of God and the enabling power of God and the mercy and the love of God. Before all of that came into your life, you were different, and now God has changed you. He's saying, don't revert back to that. You need to move forward in faith, trusting the Lord. And listen, that's where the battle begins. Lord, today and for the rest of this day, Lord, may I walk in your strength and in your understanding and not mine. Not leaning to my own understanding, but acknowledging the Lord in all of his ways is how he wants us to walk. So he said again at verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in some of your life. And listen to this, in all manner of conversation. Conversation goes beyond our speaking. But that'd be a good place to start, wouldn't it? In all manner, let's not allow the world to cause us to use phrases and things that they use that are not gentle or not kind or not loving. Just because they say it, let's not fall into that. Just because they do that, you and I have been changed. You and I have been adopted into the family of God to the glory of God. So we need to walk upright and not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so listen, and by the way, that's revival in our lives, amen? And if we'll be on fire for the Lord and commit, you know, listen, you and I do not have a single thing to say to a lost person that's going to get them saved. But if we walk faithfully to the Lord, the Holy Spirit is engaged in our lives where we're walking upright and praising God for that the world will see the light of Christ in us. We'll have the joy of the Lord. Listen, why was the Apostle Paul and Peter and others so greatly empowered by the grace and power of the Lord? Because they humbly walked with their God. And God turned the world upside down. And that's what believers need. Listen, this is not the gospel. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give you the best life you ever had. Now, that may be true to a certain degree, but here's the truth. Ready? You and I, before we got saved, we were lost in our sins, condemned, and on our way to hell. To a devil's hell that we deserve. It begins with salvation and an understanding of eternal life because of our sins, that Jesus had to come and pay for our eternal life. But today people are saying, oh, well, do you want a good life? Do you want a better life? And they take away the penalty of the sting of sin, which is death. And so today people are, you know, some kind of a, I don't know what kind of gospel you want to call it. There is truth in that, in this regard. Yes, once you understand the condemnation for your sins, and once you repent of your sin, you're not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for a better life. You're coming for salvation. And then when you get saved, on top of that, God has a great life. And that part is true. And God does have blessings, and he does have peace, and he does have joy, and he does have love. But there's a lot of people that come to the Lord, I want to make a decision for the Lord. No. I'm condemned to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. I need eternal life.
Right.
And I got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. That's the true gospel. I need to change my direction because I'm all wrong. I don't have anything to give my God. I'm going to give him my life. But baloney, he's going to give me his. I have no life, spiritually speaking. I am dead in my trespasses and sins. So be careful of what people are preaching today. And I'm not saying everybody, but there's a lot of hogwash. Isn't there? A lot of stuff that doesn't glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you and I who've been redeemed, let's look to what God has given to us because of his mercy and grace that we did not deserve. So, as we consider this, he says, verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy for I'm holy. And God's not asking for our best. He's asking for us to be yielded to him so that he will give us his best. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, that's important. We need to do a lot of calling on the Father. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here, how? In fear. In reverence for God.
Amen.
Not just, I don't got time for that. What? What? Not today. Then when? We're to walk holy in the love of God, in the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit. We're to be abiding in Christ, and Christ to be abiding in us. And if you're not easily approachable, if you're not gentle, if you're not kind, if you're not long-suffering, then what do you got? Not much. You can have eternal life, and if that's what you're banking on, don't expect to hear, well done. Well, I'm saved. It doesn't matter how I live. I don't know where the grace of God comes in that there's not a holy life. If you are the recipient of the grace of God, then there ought to be a transforming work of the Lord Jesus Christ taking place in the life of the individual, or there's going to be a problem.
Amen.
Jesus himself said, many are going to say to me in that day, maybe they grew up in church, maybe they did all kinds of things in church, because that's what they said, didn't they? But Lord, Lord, and what does Jesus say I'm going to say to them? I never knew you. So is it important how we walk, how we live? Is our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ important? Or do I do it depending upon how I feel? Well, you know, I don't feel like I should pray today. I don't feel like I'll read the Bible today. And it's not a guilt trip. There's a problem. If we don't feel like it, right, there's a problem. And that's nothing that the preacher can fix for you. That's nothing that the neighbor can fix for you. That is something only God can fix. And if there's a problem, it's incumbent upon the believer to say, God, I need you in this. Lord, as I evaluate my life by my neighbor, by the world, or by his word, as I evaluate my life by your word, I need you, God. I need you desperately in my life. How often? Every day, all the time. Every day and all the time. So again, verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily or truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for who? For you, for us. So the Lord is saying, consider the price that was paid for you. Don't take your relationship with God as something flippant and just casual. It is important. It is holy. It is vital to our walk with the Lord. And so God is saying, be serious about, these things were written for us to receive and follow, not just to hear, but to walk in. So again, he was given to us, And very quickly here, as we consider this, we find the important position and place of our faith and hope. Notice verse 21. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead. Notice this. And gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be where? Might be in God. Our faith, our trust how often? Every day. How we walk in this world ought to be about the Lord. Then this, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, notice how? Through the Spirit. How important is the Holy Spirit? It is everything. You cannot obey God without the Spirit of God. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is of the Spirit. God says the flesh never gratifies the Lord, never pleases the Lord, ever. It is only the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you think God makes little of the Holy Spirit? No, he makes big of it. So again, notice verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, and that's important, he's taking it for granted. He's followed. By the way, Peter is a living example. His life was changed by the power of God. He was a believer before the day of Pentecost, before the empowering, but after he received the filling of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, his life was completely changed. Again, 22, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That means undeceptive. The word unfeigned there means not hypocritical. Not saying one thing and then stabbing somebody in the back behind their backs. You have to have an unfeigned, you have to have something that is genuine through and through. A genuine love for God is also a genuine love for his people. Because the Lord says, if you can't love your brother who you can see, please spare me. Don't say you can love God who you cannot see. In fact, the Bible says we lie. So we have to have a genuine love. And if we have a problem with loving a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then may we call upon the Lord to help us with that. And by the way, the Lord also says, love who else? Your enemies and your neighbor, whether they're good or not. Our love for them is not incumbent upon what they do or don't do for us, but on our love for the Lord. So, again, he says, in fact, verse 22 again, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. God said that. Amen. Fervently. Being born again, reminding us, notice, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. May we take that into consideration. You and I, will, if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, I believe he can come any time now. I believe we all stand an excellent chance of being here for the Lord's return. But even if not, he says, all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. It dies. But the word of the Lord endureth for how long? Does that mean today? Does that mean tomorrow? And every day until we see the Lord? And this is the word which by the gospel, listen to this, is preached unto you. Now, how do we hear that? By faith or not by faith? By faith. And then we would say, Lord, may I walk humbly before you, calling upon you to guide me and empower my life by your Spirit to walk in your ways and not in mine. There's where the battle is. We are the only ones that can defeat us. We can only defeat ourselves in our relationship with the Lord through unbelief. The promises are all ours, are they not? All we need is trust in the Lord. Can you trust the Lord? Amen. Can he do anything?
Yes.
We think, oh, God can do anything. But when it comes to me, really, little old me? God can do anything even with little old me. Can he not? And may we walk that way and seek the Lord and allow him to transform our lives to his likeness. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great faithfulness. Lord, may you work in our hearts and minds that we would call on you like never before. May we not be lukewarm or cold, but Lord, may we call upon you to set our hearts on fire to pursue you and the things that you've given to us in your word that we might walk in them. Bless, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.